when people hear the word protein, they think building muscle. And yes, that's a big part of what protein is responsible for. But protein is also crucial for maintaining and repairing your tissues throughout your body, aiding in enzyme and hormone production, really bolstering your body's immune system, facilitating molecule transportation throughout your body, and serving as a secondary energy source as needed by your body.
My name is Leif Arneson. My brother Anders and I are on a mission to help 1 million vegans get into the best shape of their lives. We firmly believe that the more healthy and fit vegans there are in the world, the faster veganism will spread. Let's work together to inspire change, spread compassion, and challenge the status quo. Welcome to the Vegan Gym Podcast.
Hey, what's up? My name is Leif, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Daphne Bascom, and today we're going to be teaching you some easy ways to boost your protein intake as a vegan. So some people think that you need to go through and overhaul your entire diet and swap everything out and rebuild your whole nutrition plan to boost your protein intake, but that is not the case. So it's really about the small changes here and there in your diet that can really ramp up your protein intake by the end of the day. One thing that we always say is all plants contain protein. So it's a matter of making a few swaps here and there, and that's going to have some pretty big protein boosting effects by the time that you get to the end of the day. So I think that all of this is probably actually easier than you think it is when it comes to boosting your intake. So let's jump in and cover first why protein is important, and then we'll share our 7 kind of top easy ways to boost your daily protein intake through simple swaps or additions to your diet. So ready to dive in?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's do it. So first of all, let's talk about why protein is important. So we're not looking to increase a particular macronutrient because it has no benefit. So why is a higher protein intake beneficial? And then we can talk about different ways that we can boost your protein intake. So first of all, protein is a key nutrient that's necessary for a variety of bodily functions. Lots of people think about, when people hear the word protein, they think building muscle. And yes, that's a big part of what protein is responsible for. But protein is also crucial for maintaining and repairing your tissues throughout your body, aiding in enzyme and hormone production, really bolstering your body's immune system, facilitating molecule transportation throughout your body, and serving as a secondary energy source as needed by your body. And along with all of this, protein, as we just touched on, is especially important when it comes to building and maintaining muscle to reach your health and fitness goals. And you can really imagine your muscles as your body's powerhouse. Your muscles are responsible for movement, strength, overall functionality. And to keep these muscles in top-notch condition, you need protein in your corner. So you can think of protein as the building blocks, kind of the construction workers and the repair crew for your muscles. So when you engage in physical activities like weightlifting or even jogging, resistance training, whatever it is, what you're essentially doing is causing tiny micro tears in your muscle fibers. And that's kind of like the wear and tear on a car that needs to be fixed. And that's where protein steps in. So protein acts as the repair crew, mending those tiny micro tears in your muscles and making your muscles stronger and more resilient in the process. So in other words, kind of what we're doing with training is we're breaking down our muscle and then we're rebuilding it with our nutrition, particularly our protein intake. But protein isn't just about repairs, it's also about growth. So if you aim to increase your muscle mass, then protein provides the essential amino acids, which are the building blocks of protein necessary for muscle protein synthesis, which is a fancy way of saying muscle growth. So without an adequate protein supply, your muscles simply will not have the raw materials that they need to bulk up and get bigger over time. But protein isn't just about getting swole and getting big and strong and muscular. It also serves as a safeguard. When you are in a calorie deficit because you're focusing on fat loss, protein helps to prevent muscle breakdown. Your body might consider using muscle tissue as an energy source if protein intake is insufficient or if your training stimulus is insufficient, and we definitely want to avoid that. So that's why we're such big proponents of focusing on some type of resistance training in combination with a higher protein diet when you are both working to build muscle and when you're working to shred body fat and focusing on fat loss when you do not want to lose muscle mass in the process. So there's another really important reason that protein is so important. So Daphne, could you share what the importance of protein is with regard to healthy aging?
Absolutely. And Leif, it's a tie to what you just said in terms of protein intake and building and retaining lean mass. So protein is important for health span and lifespan. You know, as we age, maintaining muscle mass becomes more important so that we can preserve strength, mobility, reduce our falls risk, and age independently. So we're going to talk about this on a dedicated podcast, but protein intake supports muscle repair, growth, when combined with resistance training, even as we age. So you need to continue to consume the protein into your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond.
So why do you think that's so important? Because we hear a lot about people as they age, the risk of falling, osteoporosis, injuries due to falling, like being able to get up off the toilet seat independently. Mm-hmm. Could you touch on the importance of really kind of building or at least maintaining strength as you age and why that's so crucial?
So retaining strength as you age starts now. It starts in your 30s and 40s when you have the most opportune time to build lean muscle mass. As you grow older, what can happen is an event, an activity called sarcopenia, where you actually start to lose muscle mass. This is something we talk about in our menopause mastery course, where when your estrogen declines, you lose a preponderance of your type 2 muscle fibers, your fast twitch muscle fibers. You lose some ability to gain lean muscle. So I think that gaining and retaining lean mass as we grow older is important for one, function, and that's the primary reason. You need to be able to ambulate, to walk. You need to be able to move quickly. So if you trip and you need to save yourself from a fall, that's those type 2 muscle fibers that you're going to use. You need to have that protein to help. It does contribute to maintaining your bone density. So again, reducing your risk of breaking a bone if you accidentally fall. And then the functional activities that we do, I mean, a lot of the movements we do in the gym, whether it's the squat, the overhead press, they translate into the same activities you do every day. Sitting in a chair, sitting on the toilet, getting off your bed, putting something in the cupboard over the stove. Those are all movements that still require muscular strength and sometimes muscular endurance, and you need to retain that as you grow older.
Yeah, well said. So that is a overview of why protein is so important for a multitude of reasons. Now let's jump in and go over some easy ways that you can boost your daily protein intake. And I want to start with some high protein swaps that you can make with foods that you're probably already eating. So the first few easy ways to boost your protein intake are going to be food swaps. Now, you don't need to make all of these swaps. It's about finding what works for you and your diet. The best diet for you is the one that you can follow, the one that works with your lifestyle, the one that you enjoy. So you don't need to make all these swaps. Just find what works for you. And it's also important to find the right balance between foods that help you to meet your nutrition needs and foods that you enjoy and will actually want to eat. So that's really the key to sustainable eating habits and long-term nutrition success. So number one, the first food swap that I want to cover is legume-based pasta. Now, there are so many different options for pasta these days that are far more nutritious than the traditional type of pasta that's just made from wheat flour and water. And the options I'm about to go over are all made with legume flour instead, which is basically just dried beans or lentils that have been ground into flour. And when you swap wheat for legumes, you're not just getting extra protein, but you're also getting extra fiber, calcium, iron, magnesium, phosphorus, and other nutrients depending on the brand of pasta and the type of food that is used in the pasta. So some of our favorite options are Explore Cuisine, edamame, and mung bean fettuccine. This is one of my favorite types of pasta, and it also happens to be the highest in protein. Just a 180 calorie serving packs a whopping 24 grams of protein, and that's a 2 ounce serving. So I end up usually having 4, maybe 6 ounces, sometimes 8 if I'm super hungry. And that is a heck of a lot of pasta. I think a box of this, which really actually isn't that much pasta, I guess. It depends who you are, but it's not that much. I can eat it in one sitting, and it contains 100 grams of protein. Now, I'm not saying you need that much protein, but I'm just saying it is so easy to get in. When I say you don't need that much protein, I'm talking about eating that much in one sitting versus more spread out throughout the day. So you don't need that much in one sitting, but it just goes to show you that it is really easy to bump your protein intake up a lot. So that is one of the highest protein pastas that you can find. And just to give you a comparison, a typical fettuccine only has about 7 grams of protein for 200 calories. So it's significantly less when it comes to its protein content. And that's why having an edamame and mung bean fettuccine blend is so great for packing in more protein. It also has more micronutrients. Another great example is chickpea pasta like bonza. I use bonza pasta a lot. And for 200 calories, it has 11 grams of protein. That's a 2 ounce serving. And although it's just 4 to 5 more grams of protein per serving than traditional pasta, it also contains 5 grams of fiber compared to only 2 or 3 grams in traditional wheat pasta. And chickpea pasta is probably the most common non-wheat pasta that's higher in protein. And even a brand like Berea has its own line of chickpea pasta made with just one ingredient, which is chickpea flour. So chickpea pasta is a great alternative as well. And the first one I mentioned has edamame in it. So it's a partially a soy-based protein source. So if you have a soy allergy or avoiding soy for some reason, then chickpea pasta is a great alternative. Another great alternative is lentil pasta, which may have slightly more protein than chickpea pasta with around 190 calories and 12 to 14 grams of protein per serving. So Berea and Explore Cuisine have lentil pastas, and a few grocery stores have their own version like Trader Joe's and Target. And I personally love all of these different pasta options, but they do have a different taste and texture from traditional pasta. So you kind of have to experiment and find what works for you. My personal opinion, I'm not like a huge food critic, so maybe I don't know better than some people, but chickpea pasta for me tastes pretty similar to in terms of its consistency and how it has a fairly, I guess, neutral taste is what I would call it. It's chickpea pasta is very similar to a wheat-based pasta from my perspective. And yeah, I can easily tell the difference, but it doesn't, if you're looking for something that's as close to a replacement as possible, I would recommend that you start with chickpea pasta. But there are tons of other great options as well that we've covered. So yeah, if you go through and you test these and they're not working for you, then some brands do blend part legume flour and part wheat flour to give you a nice in-between option where it's kind of half quote-unquote normal pasta being a wheat-based option and half legume flour. So one example of this is Berea Protein Plus Pasta. It's made with a blend of wheat flour, chickpea flour, lentil flour, and pea protein. and it has 190 calories and 10 grams of protein per 2 ounce serving. So higher in protein than a normal wheat-based pasta. So those are some different options. Do you typically have pasta? Is that something you include in your diet?
I am not a big pasta person. I do love the edamame. I love the Explore Cuisine pastas. In fact, occasionally I'll munch on them dry.
Oh, really? specifically the edamame fettuccine. And mung bean fettuccine?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I've never done that. That's pretty hardcore.
Telling all the Daphne secrets.
Yeah.
But I agree with you in terms of the taste and texture. And the other thing is that most of these now are very budget friendly. So it's not like you're breaking the bank to get any of these legume-based pastas. And kids like them too. So if you're putting pasta sauce on them with vegetables, most little ones won't know the difference.
Yeah, very good. All right, well, I'll have to try some of that
dry
just out of the package. I don't know. It's very dry when you take it out of the package. So I don't know. Do you have to like
just nibble?
Yeah. You don't like kind of just let it soften in your mouth. You just nibble on it. All right. Well, that's definitely one way to get some extra protein in. So that's one protein snack that I never never knew needed to be on the snack list. All right. I'll give that a shot. Okay, the second swap that I want to talk about is dairy alternatives. So we've covered a lot of different pasta options, but there are even more dairy alternative options. So plant-based dairy options. And this is especially true when it comes to plant-based milk. So you might be missing out on a really easy way to get some extra protein in your diet if you're always just choosing almond milk. So I actually don't know what the most popular milk is in terms of total dollars, well, dollars spent, or maybe more directly gallons drunk. How many gallons of almond milk do people drink? All right, so let's cover some of our favorite plant-based milk options. The first one is soy milk. Soy milk has a very special place in my heart. And one of my favorite food products is soy milk that's vanilla sweetened soy milk, and that's just from Silk, and it just tastes absolutely delicious. It's super creamy, and I'm not saying that the sweetened version is healthier for you. I understand having less sugar is preferable, but I eat normally a very nutritious diet, and that's one thing that brings me a lot of joy. So I have sweetened vanilla soy milk, and that soy milk typically contains 6 to 8 grams of protein per serving, compared to only 1 to 2 grams of protein found in a serving of almond milk. And soy milk is often the most widely available high protein plant-based milk that you can find in lots of grocery stores. And maybe for that reason, I guess it might be the most drunk of the plant-based milks. But yeah, that's the first one. Another one would be pea milk, which is admittedly not a great name.
PEA milk.
Yes. And it's not always as common as soy milk, but it also contains around 6 to 8 grams of protein per serving. Ripple Milk is the most widely known brand that uses pea protein as a main protein source. And now that I think about it, there's probably a reason they branded it as Ripple Milk and not pea milk. So the soy producers could get away with soy milk. But yeah, we got to call the pea milk Ripple Milk. So other brands like Califia, mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to pronounce that, have high protein blends that use pea protein and other proteins like chickpea or fava bean protein. So there are a bunch of different options there. And then some examples of protein added milk, just like our pastas, there are also some blended plant-based milk options as well. So one example of this is Ripple Protein Oat Milk, which contains a blend of oats and pea protein and has 6 grams of protein per serving. or Silk Protein Almond Milk, which contains a blend of almond milk and soy protein to bump up the protein intake. So those are some different examples of some different plant-based milks that are higher in protein. My go-to is soy milk. Do you have any go-tos when it comes to plant-based milks?
Out of these two, I would go to pea milk. Yeah. Ripple milk.
Yes. Is that the brand that you have?
I do use Ripple. Now, some people say Ripple, some of the Ripples have, I think most of the Ripples have carrageenan in them. So if you're looking for something that is purely the plant without any additives, I also like oat milks and other milks from companies like Elmhurst because it's just the ingredients. But out of the two that we're talking about today, soy and pea, I tend to go to the Ripple.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder where they came up with that name. It actually, I don't know if, I'm not sure if you have done any research into like cryptocurrency, but one of them is Ripple. So whenever I hear Ripple milk, I think of cryptocurrency, but that's probably
maybe
just
they're
me.
Related.
Yeah, not sure. Yeah, maybe the company, I don't think they were doing so hot. They were going through some serious lawsuits. So maybe they spun off part of their company and started making pea milk. All right, so let's some other plant-based dairy alternatives would be plant-based yogurts. So if you're someone who enjoys plant-based yogurts, then this is another great opportunity to bump up your protein intake a bit. So just like with plant-based milk, there are certain options that are naturally higher in protein. So soy and pea protein yogurts, similar to plant-based milk, soy and pea protein-based and pea protein-based yogurts will typically be the highest in protein. Silk yogurt alternative is made with soy protein and has 110 calories and 7 grams of protein. Ziggy's, which is very good. We've actually been using that in some meal preps recently, and I've been really impressed. Has a coconut milk and pea protein blend that has 180 calories and 10 grams of protein. Kite Hill Greek yogurt is made with soy protein and has 120 calories and 15 grams of protein. So to compare, let's look at almond and cashew milk-based yogurt. Silk almond milk yogurt is 180 calories and 5 grams of protein, which is not too bad, but still not as high as some of the other options that we just covered. Voyager cashew milk yogurt has 130 calories and only 3 grams of protein. So just kind of in general, coconut milk products are something that I don't really use, in part because they're just not too high in protein. And same thing with coconut milk. Like I don't really like the taste of coconut milk. It just seems a little watery to me, and I guess a little similar to almond milk. But yeah, the coconut milk also doesn't have protein, and or it doesn't have much protein, and same thing with coconut yogurts. So those are just some, that's a kind of a comparison between some higher protein plant-based yogurt options and some lower protein ones. But again, the right option for you is going to be the one that strikes the balance between being really enjoyable, something that you love eating, and also one that meets your nutritional needs. So I pretty much, as far as dairy alternatives go, pretty much the only thing that I use is soy milk. I don't use any cheese alternatives. I don't use yogurt. Although I kind of like the taste of yogurt. It's just not something I normally have. Do you have anything else, or
I'm not a
stay
big,
away from that?
I'm not a big yogurt fan. I mean, occasionally I've tried Siggy's and I like it. I've tried the Silk and I like it, but I don't go out of my way to purchase them as part of my normal shopping.
Yeah. Yeah. If they're available, you take some of that, throw on some fruit, and it's really delicious, but it's not something I typically buy.
Not a staple.
All right, number three, the third easy swap for boosting your protein intake is all about sauces and dressings. So making your own high protein sauces and dressings is actually a very underrated way to sneak in some more protein into your diet. When you buy these items from the store, I'm talking sauces and dressings, they're typically made with oil, coconut milk, almond milk, or other ingredients that aren't going to really add protein to your meals. And oil especially is something that I avoid in my diet because it packs a ton of calories and offers from my perspective, basically zero nutritional value. And if you have a super high quality virgin olive oil, you might get some polyphenols and some other potentially beneficial compounds, but also there are better ways of getting that, getting more kind of bang for your calorie. So anyways, here's some tips for making your own high protein versions of sauces and dressings. Silken tofu is the first ingredient that I want to cover. And while firm tofu is great for eating on its own, and I use it all the time, silken tofu is an excellent blendable option to add tons of protein to a sauce, a dressing. It's really actually a great base for any kind of creamy sauces or dressings. And it just really adds a nice thick and creamy texture. So you can use silken tofu as a base for vegan Alfredo sauce, a Caesar or ranch dressing, a pesto sauce, and pretty much anything else that you want to make creamy and higher in protein. And it's really going to take on the flavor of whatever seasonings you put into the sauce or dressing. So it's not even going to change the flavor. It's just going to add protein and creaminess. So for every 3-ounce version of silken tofu, that has about 6 grams of protein. So a nice little protein boost in whatever sauces or dressings you want. Another great way to add some more protein to sauces and dressings is using a high protein plant-based yogurt. So just like silken tofu, a high protein plain vegan yogurt can serve as a thick, creamy base as well. So that's another good option that you can consider. Another great addition to sauces and dressings that really helps to boost the protein intake are cooked legumes. These can blend surprisingly well into a sauce or dressing and add 3 to 4 grams of protein for every 50 gram serving. I would recommend that you opt for softer legumes that will blend nicely, such as white beans and lentils. And that's a really easy way to boost up your protein intake and also pack a ton of other nutrients that can really help you to meet your daily nutrition needs. So those are kind of 3 different examples, silken tofu, high protein yogurt, cooked legumes that can easily be added to any sauces or dressings. And there are a few others that you can also add to any blendable sauce or dressing that ramp up the protein as well. So the other two that I want to touch on are nutritional yeast and hemp seeds. So nutritional yeast adds a cheesy, savory flavor and a couple of grams of protein for every tablespoon. It's really actually impressive how much protein the nutritional yeast can pack. So that's an easy way to boost the amount of protein in any sauce or dressing, and it also adds a lot of flavor. And then hemp seeds can add a bit of a nutty, earthy taste and have a few grams of protein for every tablespoon as well. Other seeds and nuts can also be added, but you're not going to get as much bang for your buck when it comes to the protein content and also really the general nutrition content. Hemp seeds are a great source of omega-3 fatty acids and just a lot of other nutrients that are great to add into your diet. So nutritional yeast, hemp seeds, great to throw into any blendable sauce to increase the protein content, increase the nutrition, especially if you're using a fortified nutritional yeast that has B vitamins, specifically B12. You can easily add B12 into any dish with some fortified nutritional yeast. So those are a bunch of examples of how you can make some high protein sauces and dressings.
And remember that most sauces and dressings actually get their flavor from the additives, the spices. So using the beans or the tofu as a base, it's a great way to increase the plant points in your sauces and dressing while also increasing the protein.
Did you say plant points?
I did.
Oh, I like that. Is that a term that you coined? Or
nope, that was from Dr. B. In terms of trying to get those 30 different varieties of plants in every week?
Yes. Okay. All right. Up next, we're going to be talking about meal additions. So we just covered food swaps that you can make. Now we're going to cover meal additions, things that you can add to your meals and to your diet in general to boost your overall protein intake. So coming in at the first meal addition, which is number 4 of our 7 easy tips to boost your protein intake, is protein powder. So adding a plant-based protein powder is one of the easiest ways to add a lot more protein to your plant-based diet. you're going to typically get around 20 to 25 grams of protein for a 120 to 200 calorie serving. That's a heck of a lot of protein for not that many calories, making this an especially great option if you are aiming for a calorie deficit and trying to maintain a high protein intake on a lower calorie diet. Now, a lot of brands have many flavor options that can add a great taste to some of your meals as well. Admittedly, most protein powders do not taste good. So you need to kind of figure out what works for you, what protein powders you really enjoy. I have literally tried most of the plant-based protein powders in the world, and that's because we've done a ton of different protein powder reviews. And I'll tell you in a minute how you can watch those and kind of get the lowdown on what tastes good and what doesn't. But protein powder is just a great addition to smoothies, oatmeal, pancake batter, any kind of baked goods, whether it's a cake or you're making some muffins, want some higher protein, something that you're baking, or making some energy bites or vegan yogurt. You can really add protein powder to just about anything. And you could also just decide to simply mix it up with water or a plant-based milk for a protein shake. It's great for a pre and or post workout shake, or whenever you need something to eat on the go. I just got a workout in this morning, had a banana and a protein shake before the gym, and then had a protein shake after the gym as well. So just a really easy way to get protein into your diet. And contrary to popular belief, you don't need to use protein powder if you don't want to. So I know some people shy away from protein powder. I think if you find the right protein powder that is produced by a reputable company and they have good manufacturing practices and they use quality ingredients, I personally don't think it's something that you need to shy away from. And I think it's a really easy way to boost your protein intake. But if you don't want to use a protein powder, then you don't need to. But as I said, as long as you find a high quality protein powder from a reputable company, I don't really think that there's anything wrong with adding a scoop of protein powder to your daily nutrition. So maybe you don't need to go overboard and have tons of servings of it, but adding a scoop to get in 20 to 25 grams of additional protein your day is a really easy way of doing that. So as I touched on earlier, if you need some help picking a protein powder, you can search for the Vegan Gym Protein Powder Review on YouTube, and you can choose the most recent one that we uploaded, which analyzed 72 protein powders. This was a labor of love because it was a very terrible day. Anders just went like right to the couch after we did this, and he just laid down there for hours, and he's like, I don't feel so good. It was pretty miserable. I actually have a photo of him lying down on the couch and he looks like he's on his deathbed.
Oh no.
But we didn't post it anywhere. Anyway, so
the video was funny.
Yeah. So the vast majority of this protein powder review is us just doing like 5 second kind of taste reactions to each one of them. So with 72 protein powders, that ends up being quite a bit of time. So you could just fast forward through all that if you want. We'll tell you what the taste winner is at the end. So the entire video is time stamped, and there's also an extra download that goes along with it. There's a protein powder selector tool that we pulled together that takes into account where you live and like what country you live in, and also the main things that you care about in a protein powder. Like, is it price? Is it protein percentage? Is it the ingredient quality? Whatever that is, you can sort based on that, and then we'll tell you what the best protein powders are for you of those 72. So I know there are more protein powders in the world, but those are the ones that we could get our hands on for the review, and that is the majority of the better protein powders in the world. So that is a pretty comprehensive review if you want to check that out. So for our next tip to boost your protein intake, we're going to come back to nutritional yeast. So number 5 is nutritional yeast. This is a great meal addition. So nutritional yeast, which is often referred to as nooch by the vegan community, is not only a flavor enhancer, but also a fantastic source of plant-based protein. So people usually call it nutritional yeast or nooch. What do you call it, Daphne?
I call it vegan fairy dust.
Yeah?
I sprinkle it on everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So you sprinkle a little magic on all your meals?
I do. It's a great way to get protein. And it tastes delicious.
Yeah, it is a great way to get protein. It also has a nice flavor that really adds to dishes. And it also has a lot of nutrition, especially if you're using a fortified version. So nutritional yeast is a type of deactivated yeast, and it's typically grown on a sugar medium such as molasses. And after fermentation, the yeast is harvested, washed, and then dried to create a flaky or powdery nutritional yeast product. It typically contains around 40 to 60 calories in a serving and 5 to 9 grams of protein per 2 tablespoon serving, depending on the brand. That means at least 40% of the total calories come from protein, making it a very high protein food, which is in fact on par with protein powder. And many brands are also fortified, which means that it has several added nutrients like B vitamins. This includes vitamin B12, which can be one of the harder to get nutrients on a vegan diet. Nutritional yeast has a cheesy, savory, umami flavor that tastes great when added to pastas, salads, popcorn, roasted veggies, soups, and sauces. And you can really think of nutritional yeast as another spice that you have in your kitchen. So you don't need to be afraid to be generous with how much you sprinkle on. You can buy it in bulk and always keep some in a shaker bottle. And that's what I tend to use. I just keep some in my fridge and use it like any seasoning, but typically use a lot more nutritional yeast relative to any other seasonings or spices that I would typically use. So it can really be added to any meal, probably short of smoothies or oatmeal. So any kind of like savory dish is something that you can add it to.
I've had people put it in their smoothie.
Oh yeah? All right. That's
hardcore.
Be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to add some pasta in there too. Some dry pasta can soak up the smoothie. All right. The sixth way that you can boost your protein intake by adding something to your meals is by using hemp seeds. So hemp seeds are one of the highest protein seeds with about 170 calories and 10 grams of protein per 3 tablespoons. Hemp seeds are also an excellent source of omega-3 fatty acids, which are essential for supporting heart health, reducing inflammation, and promoting proper brain function. Hemp seeds, or specifically hemp hearts, don't really have that much of a strong taste. They're a bit nutty and earthy. They are, from my perspective, a bit of an acquired taste. But you can add them to oatmeal, yogurt, salads, stir fries, or like I mentioned earlier, you can just blend them into sauces and dressings for a little protein and omega-3 boost. You can also add them to energy bites, homemade granola, and homemade granola bars. And I also throw them into smoothies all the time. So it's a really great way to get in some omega-3 fatty acids, specifically ALA. And that's something that I love adding because it has tons of nutrition and also protein. And you were talking earlier actually about, I guess this was off podcast, but you're talking about having hemp seeds on hand. You add these to salads.
I do.
It's just a really easy way to get in some more nutrition.
They sit right next to the nutritional yeast.
There you go. And then the seventh bonus way to boost your protein intake is focusing on ensuring that you have a main protein source. So this is kind of just a overarching recommendation when it comes to ensuring you are maintaining a high protein diet. So this tip will bring us back to the basics of vegan nutrition. At every meal, you should aim to include a main protein source. And like we said at the beginning, all plants have protein, but some have more protein compared to others. So high protein plant foods usually have at least 25% of their calories from protein, or at least 8 grams of protein per 100 gram serving. We really consider these to be our main protein sources. So that's kind of the definition that we've been using within our team, is that a high protein plant food has at least 25% of their calories coming from protein. So those are what we consider to be our main protein sources. And these options will provide most of the protein for our meals, while the other things that we've discussed in this episode will help to boost the protein intake up even more. So let's cover some of our favorite high protein or main protein options. To begin, many soy foods serve as a fantastic source of protein. This includes tofu, tempeh, soy curls, textured vegetable protein, and edamame. So for those of you who may need to be soy-free, soy-free tofu is also available, typically made from some kind of legume. I forget what the brand is. I think it's like Big Foods or something, but they have no soy tofu, I think is what they call it.
I think there's quite, I don't remember the brand name. There are no soy tofu. There's pumfu that's made from pumpkins, and I can see it on the shelf. The other ones that are bean-based, but non-soy bean-based.
So it's soy-free tofu from Big Mountain Foods. I tried that for the first time a few weeks ago, and it's quite good. I prefer tofu personally, but it's a really great alternative. It has the same texture as really firm tofu, which I think is nice, and it's a great soy-free option. It's also packed with protein. In fact, I think it's actually higher in protein as a percentage of calories, at least that particular brand. There are tons of different types of no-soy tofus that you can use, but I really love just regular tofu. That's kind of my go-to. I have that for pretty much have like a block a day. I've been doing a block of extra firm tofu a day for pretty much most days over the last, at least 6 years. So I feel like I'm a pretty good case study for maybe the feminizing effects.
I was going to say you're
of soy, or rather the lack thereof of feminizing effects.
And you can also make your own lentil-based tofu if you just want to know what's in your food and you are comfortable doing it. It's very easy to make at home.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. So you basically just, you would make some legume, whether it's peas or anything else, and then pretty much just kind of mash it up and form it.
And you're done.
And then you're done. Yeah. So there are lots of different ways to get in some kind of tofu, whether that's a soy-based version or not. Seitan is another great protein source. It is made from the protein of the wheat plant, and you can buy pre-made or make it yourself from Vital Wheat Gluten. It's pretty easy to make. It's never going to be as easy as just going and buying it at the store, which is honestly what I would always do because it's easier, but you can also easily make it at home. And some other really great high protein legumes are fava beans, lupini beans, and lentils. Those are three of the highest protein legumes along with edamame. And lentils are pretty well known and popular, but the first two, fava beans and lupini beans, I think are far less common and well known. So those are easy ways to boost your protein intake. And if you haven't tried them, I would recommend that you do.
Same here.
So earlier we discussed swapping regular pasta for legume-based pasta, and many of these pastas contain enough protein to be considered a main protein source, especially something like the Explore Cuisine, edamame, and mung bean fettuccine. So that is super packed with protein, and many of the other pastas that we mentioned as well are packed with protein. So while all of these can be regarded as our minimally processed main proteins containing a few additional ingredients, there's always room in our diets for more processed main protein sources as well. So we already covered protein powder, which I would consider to be quite a processed food, as well as one of the ways to boost protein intake. And this could be, protein powder can be considered as a main protein source. It's really kind of the main protein source that I use primarily in smoothies and oatmeal. So I'll just add protein powder to oatmeal and you can make protein oatmeal. It's very easy. But there are some other kind of more processed, higher plant protein options as well, such as mock meats like Daring Chicken, Impossible, and Gardein, and Beyond Meat. All of these different options can be part of a healthy diet. You might want to focus a little bit more on whole foods, but these are things that you can incorporate into your diet that are also really high in protein and can taste really good as well. So that kind of wraps up our 7 easy ways to boost your total daily protein intake. Now, I'd love to ask you, Daphne, what is your favorite method for boosting your protein intake, whether it's one that we covered or a different one?
It is one that we covered. It's adding beans and tofu. I mean, I can add tofu as a side to just about anything. Top of a salad. The same with beans. Put them on a salad. You You can actually use silken tofu, as you were mentioning earlier, in your smoothie if you want to. So those are my go-tos.
And what would you say is kind of your favorite high protein food overall?
Right today, I have seasons of what's my favorite food. I'm on a green lentil kick. They're high in protein, they are high in fiber, and they're low in fat. And I can eat them for multiple meals a day, and they're great to meal prep. So that is my go-to right now.
We actually didn't really talk about my current go-to, which is soy curls.
Oh, soy curls too.
Yeah. I have really grown to love soy curls. Like even up to a year ago, I thought they were kind of weird and I guess I didn't really know how to prepare them.
Uh-huh.
But they're so easy to make. You just pour them into a bowl and you just put water in it and you let them soak up the water. And then you drain the water and you add whatever spices or sauces. I prefer using like a teriyaki sauce.
Uh-huh.
You just add that to the bowl, mix it around. And you throw in the air fryer and you make something super delicious. So that's kind of my go-to. If I have some soy curls with rice and broccoli, that's really kind of a go-to meal. That's also super easy because I make the rice in bulk and then I just put that all in my fridge and it's good for days. And I'll just use a rice cooker. So I'm just throwing rice into a rice cooker, adding water, pressing start. And then that's basically done. And then I get broccoli, chop it up, have a bunch of chopped broccoli that's always ready to throw into a pan. And I'll typically fill up an entire pan with broccoli and then just steam that. And then I like my broccoli to be slightly crunchy.
Al dente?
Yeah, al dente. So I cannot stand soggy broccoli, mushy broccoli.
No.
I don't understand why people cook it to that extent.
It's not good.
Yeah. I don't want to be actually crunching on my broccoli, but I don't want it to be just baby food. So dude, you gotta strike in the middle there. So anyways, I'll just prep that ahead of time and I'll keep some steamed broccoli as well as some chopped uncooked broccoli just ready to go to throw in a pan. And then I get a bunch of soy curls. I'll fill up like an entire super large mixing bowl, fill it up with soy curls. And then you can actually buy massive bags of soy curls on Amazon. I think it's like 12 or 15 pounds, which is a heck of a lot of soy curls because they are all dehydrated. So
they're light.
12 pounds is a heck of a lot. So you've got this Santa bag of soy curls that shows up at your door. And you can, but they're good for a very long time because
they're shelf stable.
Yeah, they're shelf stable. So I'll throw those into a mixing bowl, make a huge batch of those. And what I have been, it's very simple. You put them in, as I said, you add water and then you soak them for 5 to 10 minutes and they're ready to go. Take out the water, you add teriyaki sauce. And then I also chop up some red bell pepper because that adds some nice flavor and also add some more nutrition. So I'll chop that up, throw it in, mix it all around. And then you have like a really nice meat part of your diet. Yeah. And then you add some rice and broccoli and it just tastes great. And it also kind of checks all the boxes for nutrition and protein and micronutrients. You got cruciferous veggies. So checks a lot of boxes for me.
Sounds like a nice, easy, quick meal.
Yeah. I'm all about efficiency. So I want healthy, nutritious, high protein meals as quickly and easily as possible.
Have you tried dry soy curls?
Now I feel like I'm sharing secrets. I have tried some dry soy curls, but I'm not sure I would recommend them. They're not that bad, but it's just, I much prefer actual soy curls.
No, yeah. You're right.
Hydrated soy curls is definitely superior. So we'll have to try some hydrated pasta as well later. All right. And I guess I just kind of covered my favorite kind of go-to meal or recipe. What would you say is your favorite high protein recipe, or at least currently?
So I love anything with curry. So a tofu curry with red lentils. So the red lentils, when they cook down, they kind of make a nice thick base. And then you add some chickpeas in there. If you're tofu, you can put some kale, some spinach. It's a perfect dish. You can eat it on top of rice if you want to. Throw it on some quinoa. You can throw it on top of a potato. It's a perfect way to meal prep and get in a high protein meal. And by the time you add in your turmeric and other things, it's protein packed, lots of antioxidants, and lots of flavor.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds great. I need to try some of that. I love curries as well. And that's really kind of one of my go-tos. We've moved twice now since this, the place I'm going to talk about, but there was this, when we were living in Pennsylvania, we were in this apartment building where there were apartments on the second and third floors. And then on the first floor, there were businesses. And in the building adjacent to ours, which is just like a 30-second walk, there was this amazing place that served curry.
Uh-huh.
And that was just kind of like our go-to. I think we like kept them in business. So I hope that they're okay now that we moved away. they dropped their demand by 50% when we moved. But anyways, yeah, they had this tofu curry that was just incredible. So, all right, now I'm making myself hungry. We're going to have to start planning dinner. All right. Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts on, you know, high protein options or boosting protein intake?
I just want to go back to what you said at the beginning, which is you don't have to implement all seven of these recommendations at one time. Pick one. You know, if you are a pasta lover, try and substitute a high protein pasta for your normal wheat pasta. But these are easy, quick ways to boost your protein intake. Try one, see how it works for you. And then if you want to add others, you can. But this should be simple and healthy.
And also, even though many of these seem like they only add a few grams of protein here and there,
it adds up.
That really adds up throughout the day. Yeah. And I was actually a really great example of this is I was trying to follow Dr. Greger's nutrition plan. And that was a video that we were working on. And so I ate like Dr. Greger for a week. And the first day I thought, okay, I got everything dialed in. I was just like crushing it. And then I got to the end of the day and I was over 100 grams of protein. And I was like, what the heck? I need to be low protein. And I was trying to shoot for 60 grams, uh-huh. But I'm like checking all these other boxes. And I was eating like 3,000 calories. And I bet Dr. Greger tends to eat around 2,000 a day. So that also... I kind of realized that if you just scale up 60 grams and
you'll get
if you
more.
Add 50% more calories, like you're going to get up to 100 grams just following exactly what Dr. Greger eats. But anyways, I was trying to keep it super low protein. And then moving forward, I said, okay, we need to very actively make sure that we are choosing low protein foods because it just adds up so easily and quickly. So I think that's just really a testament to the fact that all plants have protein. Yep. And it is so easy to get 100 plus grams of plant protein. Like I can do that in a blink of an eye. And typically I end up like 30 to 50 grams higher than that any given day. Typically maybe like 150 grams is where I normally settle these days. But yeah, all plants have protein. It really adds up. So nutrition really doesn't have to be that complex. And I think the more we can simplify it, the better. And protein is really beneficial. It will help you to accomplish all of your health and fitness goals. And I would recommend that you give some of these strategies a try. Let us know what you think. And really appreciate you listening to this episode. And we'll catch you on the next one. Thanks.
Thank you.
To get access to some of our best content for free, head over to theveganjim.com. We've got tons of articles and guides to help you burn stubborn body fat, build lean muscle, and supercharge your health. You can even use our vegan nutrition calculator for free to figure out how much protein, calories, and micronutrients your body needs. Get started right now at theveganjim.com.